Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From Black Powder Headquarters and the Bojangles Studio at Three Falls Cabin in the North Georgia Mountains, it's time for O'Neill Outside. For anything in the outdoors, this is your source. Listen in and call the show with your comments or questions. And now, here's O'Neill.
Good morning, boys and girls. Welcome to a brand new unused Saturday morning with the second hour of O'Neill Outside headed your way. 4 to 6 a.m. every Saturday morning across the country, and you're about to tune in to the second hour of the program. It is the number one most listened to live outdoor-based radio talk show in the world, and I'm proud of that. And with the help and, if you will, continuing support of some very kind sponsors and associates, maybe we'll keep it going for a little while. Woman Williams is headed down this way. This morning, she wants to participate in the program, too, and I would urge you to spend some time outdoors this weekend. I'm certain it'll be worthwhile. A couple of things of shameless self-promotion. Number one, visit O'NeillOutside.com. Right in the middle of the homepage, you will see the mention of my book. It's called O'Neill Outside, People and Places Along the Way. If you order it from my website and give me the information to do so, I will personalize that book and sign it and send it to you. Number two, the Southern Grind Guest Book. Leave a comment, a question, an observation, and if we use that comment on the television show or we zero in on that on the radio program, as we've already done this morning, then we'll send you a Southern Grind knife. Well, Zach Brown will send you a Southern Grind knife. Lastly, then, too, at the bottom of the homepage, we're going to Alaska next year, the greatest cruise I've ever been on. And in my youth, Gail and I went on a lot of cruises. This one is to Alaska. This will be our third cruise to Alaska, and it's next summer in June, but you need to sign up now. Make your reservation. It's a special deal this weekend. Make your reservation for only $200, which you can cancel later, but if you make your reservation this weekend, then you'll get free or complimentary beverages during the trip. This ship is a Princess cruise line, and it's specially built for this cruise. Seattle up through the Lynn Canal and back to Seattle over, I think, 7 days. Mountains on both sides. It is absolutely breathtaking. And we have an awful lot of people who are already there, but I have 30 cabins reserved. Don't wait. Do it this weekend, and you'll get complimentary beverages on the trip with a reduced reservation rate. All right, we have a lot of other self-promotion going on. The telephone numbers are 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. We have the calls coming in now. Woman Williams will join us in a few minutes, and we'll be back. To know. 12 after the hour. This is O'Neill Outside. Let's get to the calls if we can. First of all, let's check with Jonathan. Jonathan, you don't know what you won, did you?
No, sir.
Well, I'm going to tell you. You won a Swaggerty's sausage coupon. You could use it at a grocery store. You won Whitetail Institute DVD about planting food plots, a real tree hat, a DataSport fishing game forecaster, some Fisher's Choice baits, a casting float from Mark Noble, a hat from Thorogood, some Arctic Ice freezer packs, Bug Band insect repellent, a selection of True Turn tackle, and a $10 Bojangles gift card so you can get a few sausage and biscuits. How about that?
Oh, it sounds like a real winner to me.
Well, we'll send it to you in a couple of weeks. You left your address, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Give me a chance to round it up, and we'll get it to you.
Okay, sir. I'll be looking for it.
You bet. Thanks, Jonathan. Appreciate your participation in the program. Now, let's talk to Mac. He's on line number two. What do you say, my good friend?
Good morning, O'Neill. Good morning, everybody.
You betcha. You headed to the pond?
I'm sitting in the Hayes Ram right now.
Good for you.
Yeah, man, we're on the way, brother. We're going to catch them.
Good.
It looks like a good morning to go fishing. Fish has been good. Very typical patterns all over the southeast. Fish are definitely transitioning in the summer. Just actually, that transition and that move to summer fishing has been fairly normal this year as far as the time frame. So, we never hit the averages. This year we kind of have. So think deep water, think open water. Your striper fishing, live bait on a downline, the herring has been probably the best pattern. But there's a very nice secondary pattern trolling with lead core line, trolling with your umbrellas, trolling with your downriggers. So, get the downriggers out of the closet this time. But overall, fishing is good. Bass fishing is good here on Lanier. We've got a lot of fish in the brush, and you can get them to come up and take a topwater, or you can just pitch a plastic worm on a drop shot or shake your head around the brush pile 22, 24, 25 feet somewhere in there and catch lots of fish. So, very good report. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good fishing.
An excellent report, as a matter of fact. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Yes, we are into now the following time of year. You correct me if I'm wrong. Other than maybe just a few moments that you can't really depend on, if you're fishing southern waters right now and you're casting to the bank, all the fish are behind you.
You're going to get sore arms. What are you going to get? I'm casting too much. You turn around and throw off the other side of the boat or drop underneath the boat. You're right.
Yeah.
And, on clear lakes like Lanier, Hartwell, there's always a couple up there shallow, but the greatest numbers of fish hands down right now on our lake are in 22 to 24 feet. So if you're sitting in 25 feet casting the bank, they're watching you go right over their head. And
that's right. I remember, you remember an outstanding friend of mine and a wonderful guide on West Point Lake was Tommy Mike.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I remember Tommy.
Tommy taught me something and I'm simple-minded. I live by little quotes. He told me one day, we were doing a show, and he said, O'Neill, I don't fish for single fish. I fish for schools of fish.
Absolutely. That's so simple, it goes over your head. But it makes really good sense when you think about it.
That's exactly right. And he did, and he was good at it.
He was very good at it. He was an excellent fisherman, and that's good advice. And I tell customers all the time, we might catch one here, but I want to leave because I want to get us in a position where we might catch 10. It may not work, but that's the mindset.
That's right. Well, I remember one of the days that you and I fished together in the last few years, there was a school of stripers in the top of a tree. And we stopped on it, and bang, bang, we both caught one. And you said, that's going to scatter these for a few minutes, but we can come back and catch them again.
There you go.
It was a school of fish. It wasn't just one or two.
Not a fish, a bunch of fish.
Yeah, yes, it was. Hey, I'm telling everybody, if you want to learn fabulous fishing lessons, be sure and go fishing with Mac.
And we'd love to have them, absolutely.
You bet.
We've got two, O'Neill. We need to point this out. We talk about this all the time, but this surprises people. But we have what are arguably the best 8 to 10 weeks of the year as far as catching stripers coming up, starting right now.
You got them zeroed in now, don't you?
Yeah, you got more fish and less water, so it's too lengthy to get in on the radio. But everybody thinks it's too hot. Fish are deep. It's not hot where they're at. And look, I tell people this all the time. Okay, so it's hot. I want you to try not to eat anything between July 4th and Labor Day. Let's see how that works out for you. He's got to eat. He's just not. We just talked about he's not shallow. You won't see him with your eyes. You won't see him on top of the water, maybe. He might be 60, 80 feet, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have to eat.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago when I was with you, and we caught one at 97 feet.
A big one on a big old spoon, and that's what's going on now. So we'll talk about that more next week, and I'll elaborate on that. But we do. I really believe that we've got, and not just on Lanier. I'm talking about lakes all over the southern part of the country or beyond. This is arguably the best time of year as far as numbers, consistency, size. You got 10 good weeks of really fishing, good fishing coming up. So don't quit now. This is time to get serious about it.
You bet. Thanks for calling, Matt. Great report.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Catch some fish. Be safe. And like you said, O'Neill, let's get a kid outside this weekend.
You bet. See you later, pal. There we go. That's a great report from Mac. That's why you should hire a guide, and Mac is one of the champions. You learn so much over and over and over and over again. And how does he know these things? Well, he's been a guide for 40 years, but the fish don't change. The fish don't know where they live. They act the same way under similar conditions over and over and over and over again. So, let's see. I don't have time. We'll get out of here. I've got 2 minutes. Let's go to Waleska, Georgia, and Carrie. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning, O'Neill. This is Carrie from Waleska.
Hi. I know Waleska. What a pretty little town.
Yay. I have a question. First of all, I'm a biology major, so I'm really digging your show.
Okay.
And so I have this question about turkeys. We have lots of turkeys here. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, did this hot spring that we have this year really affect their mating? Because I haven't seen any babies lately.
No, it may. The only thing that probably changed is the level of predation from coyotes or hogs or raccoons or something like that. But no, it should not have changed. They can't help it. They're going to mate with the increased number of hours of daylight. They can't help but get together. So if you're not seeing them, their environment has changed, or the level of predators has changed.
All right. And so then it wouldn't have any effect on the bugs or anything? It's really eerily quiet this summer.
No, it shouldn't. They love the bugs.
Okay, but how about the bugs? Has the mating changed in bugs, too, because it's so quiet? Or has the cicadas not been out this year? Is it something like... what do you call those bugs every 7 years?
Oh, the locust?
Yeah.
I don't know. What a good question. I don't know the answer to that. You're majoring in biology?
No, I've been a biology major for like 40 years. So.
I understand. All right, I'm up against the clock. I've got to go, Carrie. Please call back more often.
Okay, thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
Right.
Light is shining, the thanks of Colorado, and the girl he left behind him. He said,
"Boy,
I
isn't Zac Brown a great
again.
Singer and storyteller?
But I'm stuck in cold.
He's one of the absolute best, I got to tell you. Okay, let's get to the calls. People have been calling on, holding on quite a while. Let's talk first to Albert. He's calling from New Hampshire. Good morning, Albert. Welcome to the program. You're on the radio.
Hey, O'Neill. How you been?
Outstanding.
Good. Does anybody else call from New Hampshire, or is it just me, O'Neill?
You're the only guy who calls from New Hampshire.
Well, I'll take it. Hey, I just want to let you know I'm heading out to the beach to do some striped bass fishing this morning. So I was out there in the Newburyport, and we were catching some schoolies off topwater and little white eel-like paddle baits. So that's where I'm heading this morning right now.
Striper fishing there, what is your favorite method for striper fishing where you're visiting today?
So normally you just go out in the middle of the kind of the intercoastal, the Newburyport, you know, the Merrimack River flows in the fresh water. So once the tide changes, usually the best way to do it is to get some chunk bait and get out there in the tide and float, and you can drag the bottom. And usually at night, want to be there at night, that's where the large ones come out. But it's the early run right now, so today I'm just going to head down to the state beach. I'm going to watch the shoreline, and I was there Friday catching mine on topwater bait, on a 1.25 ounce topwater bait.
Fantastic. Topwater stripers off the beach. That sounds great.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I got one of the first fish. I live close enough to where I could be. I think I talked to you before. I like the ice fish and all that stuff. But, you know, I'm within 35, 45 minutes of the beach. I'm within, you know, an hour of the White Mountains, for trout fishing. And then, 45 minutes of Lake Winnipesaukee, which is probably one of the best smallmouth fishing up here in the area. So, but, yeah, so today's saltwater fishing, striper fishing. I'm going to be fishing the shoreline. Tide going out. I'm going to be using a topwater bait and one of those white swim baits with like an eel head on the bottom. The head drags the bottom as you reel. So that's what I'm doing today, O'Neill.
Is it better on the falling tide?
Yes, sir. Yes, with the striped bass, do they hang out on the mouth of the channel? As soon as that tide changes, it starts pushing all that bait fish. The eels start to creep up, and then it's like a big happy food chain just going up the river. or down the river, if you will. Yes.
You sure. Well, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
That's a great. That's a Albert. That's a great illustration of what we say so often here on the radio program, and it's and you understand it is the fish, the game fish will do the same or similar thing under the same or similar circumstances all the time.
All the time, yeah, because that's where the food is. I mean, if you're hungry, you know, it's like us. If we want meat, you got to go hunt for it. You got to go in the woods, right? You're going to go find your meat. So if you're, yeah.
I think it's funny. I was telling somebody this past week, we got started talking about fishing, and I made them realize that a largemouth bass or a spotted bass or a smallmouth bass, all of those fish are not bass.
They're
sunfish.
Oh, that's funny. You're right. You are correct. They're all sunfish. That's right.
But a striper, is a bass.
That's interesting. I didn't really know the ecological of that, biology of that. I'm not a major in biology. I'm a major in fishing. That's all I know.
There you go. That's what counts.
That's right. All right, O'Neill, thank you for your show. I appreciate listening to it, and I'll call back again, sir.
Please do that. I always enjoy your call, sir. Absolutely.
Thank you,
Albert. There we go. 404-872-0758-800, 972-8255. Here's always an enjoyable call from Richard, and he's calling from West Virginia. Good morning, Richard.
Does anybody else call from West Virginia?
No one else calls. Are you the only guy that lives there?
It's possible. Right here, it doesn't seem like anybody else. I mean, there's a lot of good fishing around here.
Oh, boy.
And your show is right on the local station, and it's coming in loud and clear. I don't understand why nobody else calls in. That's just, well, I don't worry about it. I'm just calling from West Virginia.
Yeah.
Right here in a place called Wheeling. You ever heard of Wheeling, West Virginia?
Yes, I have, certainly.
I'm just checking, because I've asked other people, and they said, never heard of Wheeling.
Oh.
But when you come here, there's one thing about it. If you come here, you get the Wheeling feeling. You know.
Ah, there you are. I like that, Richard.
They have that advertisement over the casino. You get the Wheeling feeling.
Oh,
what I wanted
good.
To ask about was this. Is this an old wives' tale, or is there truth to it? The best time to fish is early in the morning or at dusk. Is that an old wives' tale, or is that true? Why is it that, if that's true?
Okay, I'll give you the answer to that. Most of the time, the game fish are deep. So the effect of sunlight in the water is minimal. But in the spring and often in the fall of the year, when the game fish, bass, spotted bass, and others are shallow, then at dawn, early light, and late light, the light penetration in the water is minimal. So that makes the fish less wary, if you will. So they will be less spooked, or they will be more aggressive with a little with a reduced light penetration. I know that's why I would tell you that so often fishing under windy conditions is better than fishing in calm water conditions, because the wind on the water deflects the light, and when there is no wind, the light penetration is greater. So that's what you want.
Well, so if you get Mike as a guide, he would take you out first thing in the morning or dusk?
Yes, you would go early. That's right.
Thanks, O'Neill.
You would go early. Did I lose Richard already? Well, Richard said thank you and good night. I always enjoy hearing from Richard. 404-872-0758-100-972-8255. This is O'Neill on Saturday mornings on WSB and the SB Nation Radio Network, 100 stations nationwide from Seattle to L.A., to Houston, Dallas, Fort Worth, and the big EEA, I've forgotten the name of that station up in the Northeast, the big outdoor sports powerhouse. I'll get the numbers. My brain is gone. I can't remember things like that. So WEEI, I knew I would get it. And that's where a great number of these calls come from now, that from New Hampshire and Boston and New York. The WEEI is in Boston. It would, for those of you above the Mason-Dixon line, it's Boston. I know we have guests, good friends of ours. Oh, my goodness, from 1980. So they've been friends of ours for 40 years. And it's Dr. Steve Sampson. He is a psychologist, and he's from Boston, and he still carries a reflection of that accent. It's here at where they're staying over this weekend for a couple of days, and we don't go to the barn, we go to the bond, and he does indeed. Park the car in the yard. Park the car in the Harvard yard. But not quite that bad. I'm exaggerating. Great guy. Smart person. And he and his wife, we enjoy their company. And they're here this weekend. I got to tell you, I don't think Gail is getting up this morning. I went to get her a few moments ago and opened the bedroom door and said, it's time for you to get up. And I had no reaction. I think she's punted, so to speak, for the week on O'Neill Outside. That's the cooperation I get. 404-872-0758-100-972-8255 for O'Neill Outside. Exclusive WSB and the SB Nation Radio Network. Let's see, what have we covered this morning? We've got all our sponsors for the radio prize package. Fail to mention, if you're so inclined, O'Neill has podcasts now on iGoogle and SoundCloud, and off my website you can hear this show repeatedly. I don't know why you would want to, but this show, and I have a lot of individual podcasts also of some of the stories, the places, the people. They're quite frankly chapters out of my book, O'Neill Outside, People and Places Along the Way. And I'm within one chapter of finishing that book, and I'll have it out in the next couple of months or something of that nature. So look for it. You can buy the current book on my website at O'NeillOutside.com. O'NeillOutside.net, and if you order it there, then I'll personalize and sign it for you, and you can see a few reviews of O'Neill Outside. You can purchase it at Amazon, and you can see some of the reviews, very few, but in any case, they are, all of those reviews are five star. You got to know O'Neill, and you've got to be an outdoor guy to enjoy this book. Now let's talk to Bill. Bill is somewhere on the road. Good morning, Bill. You're on O'Neill Outside. Welcome.
Good morning, O'Neill.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, I'm going to put you back on hold, pal. I've dropped out here, and I'm going to put you back on hold. This is O'Neill. We'll be back.
Honor, courage, and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. Now let's recognize this week's Medal of Honor recipient on O'Neill Outside.
Staff Sergeant John McGinty, U.S. Marine Corps, Vietnam, 1966. McGinty's platoon, which was providing rear security to protect the withdrawal of the battalion from a position which had been under attack for three full days, came under heavy small arms, automatic weapons, and mortar fire from an estimated enemy-sized regiment. With each successive human wave which assaulted his very small 32 during the four-hour battle, John rallied his disregard for his safety. McGinty charged through the intense automatic weapons and mortar fire to their position. He found 20 men wounded and he quickly reloaded ammunition magazines and weapons for the wounded men and directed their fire upon the enemy. Although he was already wounded as he moved to care for the disabled men, he continued to shout encouragement to his troops and to direct their fire so effectively that the attacking hordes were beaten off. When the enemy tried to outflank his position, he killed five of them at point-blank range with his pistol. When they again seemed on the verge of overrunning the small force, he skillfully adjusted artillery and airstrikes to within 50 yards of his position. This destructive firepower routed the enemy, and they left 500 dead Vietnamese soldiers on the battlefield, VC. McGinty's personal heroism, his leadership, his self-devotion to duty, and bold fighting spirit inspired his men to resist the repeated attacks by a fanatical enemy. It reflected great credit upon himself and upheld the highest traditions of the Marine Corps and the U.S. Naval Service. John McGinty, Vietnam, 1966. He died in 2014 at age 83. 43 after the hour. Now let's get back to Bill on the road. Good morning, Bill. Sorry to have to cut you off there, pal.
No worries.
On the road, I think. Okay.
Yeah, man. I'm calling to wish you and Gail a happy anniversary. I just saw that you just shared a big one.
Thank you very much. Yeah, no kidding. Well, 54 years. How about that?
That's a long time, buddy, but I know that you guys are just still lovebirds. I see it every day.
That's right. We had our first date 57 years ago this past week.
Wow.
And she never let me go after that.
Well, that's the testament that it's when you say I do, you should be looking at saying I do forever, and you guys exemplify that. My hat's off to you, and congratulations to both of you.
Good deal. Thank you so much. I'm glad you called.
See ya.
You bet, pal. There we go. Thanks for calling, Bill. I appreciate it. And now let's talk to Alan is calling On line number two, Alan is calling from, let's see where he's calling from. He's coming up on my screen right now. Alan is calling from Tallahassee, Florida. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, O'Neill.
Hey, now, what did you say?
Oh, not much. I was going to tell you the brim fishing has been real good down here in North Florida, but the one thing I was going to call you about, we've been ridden South Georgia of our biggest menace is the pig. We went up to a farm up here just below Tifton. The gentleman grows sod, soybeans, and peanuts. And during that drought period we had down here, boy, you talking about some damage these pigs have done to this poor man. The first Friday night, we killed 23. And then that Saturday, we usually go in about 8 o'clock and hunt until about 4 o'clock in the morning. We killed 47 pigs, and that didn't even hardly dent the population. That's how bad gotten down here in South Florida.
Well, you know, I understand. I read about this the other day. I'm not sure I believe it, but what the heck. I understand that a pig is just about as smart as a dolphin.
So I would agree
with
that.
They are formidable game animals.
I mean, we have to do some really smart things to trick these pigs to come in. And then once we start in on them, they burst. And they're real smart about not coming back to that area. So we have to move and hunt them again because they're not a dumb animal at all. No, you know.
Not at all.
So it's, I mean.
Not at all. You can't keep up with them. You have to. You, it sounds like you're doing a great job, Alan, but you're going to have to trap them.
Yeah, I know that, but you know, a lot of times we don't have the time.
Yeah.
And then the most time the farmers don't know what to do with them after they do trap them, you know, because down here in South Georgia and Northern Florida, you know, it's hard to find the places to take them to because a lot of people don't want to fool with them, you know, so we have to do what we do, but if people could see the damage that these animals do to the farms and what it costs these farmers and lost crops and just damage to the land itself, I mean, they would understand why we have to be sometimes a little unmerciful to them because, I mean, they're costing these people thousands and thousands of dollars.
Oh, absolutely. I agree 100%. I'm going to South Georgia. Go ahead.
I said, I wish we could trap them. I mean, it would be a little more merciful. But, I mean, it's just, you know, a lot of times, you know, we don't have the time and, you know, in the biggest places to take them, you know, where to take them. Because a lot of people don't want to deal with them, you know. Now, of course, we take a lot of the small ones, you know, the smaller ones. And then we cut them up, you know, and then we take them home for meat and stuff. But a lot of the big ones, you know, nobody wants to deal with them, you know. So, but we do, you know, bury them. And, you know, it sounds unmerciful. But if you just see the damage they do and the cost that it does to these farmers, some people would realize, I mean, if you got to do what you got to do, you know.
Absolutely. Well, you know, some people are anti-hunters, and they say that you're being cruel, but then they go to the store and they buy some bacon.
Yeah.
Where do they think that bacon came from?
Yeah. Well, the biggest they start ruining the crops, and then the crops go up, your corn, your soybeans, your peanuts, you know. Even the cotton fields, they go through and, you know, they don't eat the cotton, but they dig up the ground, you know, looking for grubs, which kills the plants.
Yes.
And then, you know, cotton prices start going up, so your clothes start costing more money, you know.
It's almost epidemic now.
Yeah, and I mean, how many pigs there were, but, I mean, O'Neill, all through South Georgia, there's just hundreds and hundreds of them, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They're all over the United States now.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's...
Hey, good reminder call, Alan.
Okay.
good reminder call. Be sure and call back again next week. Let me know what you did this week and if you went hunting for them.
Okay, well, you're...
Uh-oh, there we go. I got the gallon cut off a little bit there. Now let's... Oh, here's our friend Hank the Yank. What do you say, man?
What do I say? Should we tell everybody
Hank
how
the
you...
Yank.
Were... Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, I can.
Should we tell everybody how you've endured?
Fine.
Should we tell all the listeners how you've endured 50-something years of marriage?
Go ahead, please.
This is how Gail has done it. Not you, Gail. If you ever see O'Neill driving his Toyota truck down the road, his license plate says, "Yes, dear."
Of course.
Naturally.
What's next?
What's next?
I'm not stupid.
No, you're not. Listen.
I've learned well.
You're like that pig in South Georgia, right? You're a pretty smart guy. Anyway,
right. Smart as a fish.
Let me tell you what's going on. There's quite a few things going on, and I want to be brief. So our carp fishing in the Chattahoochee has been good when the conditions allow. You know, you can't have rain. Or dirty water, but when the water's been clean, the carp have been eating, so that's what we've been doing. I spoke to our buddy up in Unicoi Outfitters, Jimmy Harris. They are now running striper trips up in Helen. Can you believe it? They're running striped bass trips up in Helen, Georgia. There's fish up at the Nora Mill Dam, which is all private water, and you can walk in and wade and catch striped bass wet wading in about ankle high water. They've got stripers up there, and they're letting people go and fly fish for them, and doing like 2-3 hour very inexpensive trips. So I wanted to let our listeners know, because that's something really unusual that you generally do not get to see very often. We're talking about catching stripers in a river that may only be 30 feet wide in some places.
Well, they're coming up out of Lake Lanier.
Yeah, those are your Lanier stripers. That's right.
Right.
That's right. And so, but
Lanier
he's got
stripers.
Them all. Where he's got those big trout supplanted. Those fish are up there, probably trying to eat some of his trout. So they're up there running some walking wade striper trips, which is pretty cool for Helen, Georgia.
Interesting.
And then the other thing I wanted to tell you: big day today. Anybody who's around, this is really good stuff over at Alpharetta Outfitters, right off of Highway 9, over by in between Old Milton and Windward Parkway on Highway 9. They're celebrating their 10-year anniversary today, so they're going to be having barbecue and sweet water brews and all sorts of stuff. It's all free. They're going to have vendors coming and showing their strutting their stuff at the shop. We're going to have a little bit. Going to have some boats around the place, and I'll be there talking stripers. It's from 11 to 4 p.m. at Alpharetta Outfitters if anybody wants to go.
Fantastic. Well,
so
everybody stop by and then chat with Hank the Yank.
And they'll see that I may have a license plate that says "Yes, dear" soon enough, if that'll get me to 54 years.
That's right. Yeah, it takes it, man.
It does. It does.
You,
I get
you
it.
Nail that one.
Well, congratulations.
You nail
buddy.
That one.
Well, look.
Well,
you
that's
know what?
Very. There. I gotta go in a second here, but that's very interesting. What a great demo that is. That those stripers are from Lake Lanier all the way up to Helen, right?
Yeah, they can't go any further because it's Jimmy's property ends is the dam up at Nora Mill, and that's as far as they can go, and they're sitting right at the dam.
I'll be darned.
Isn't that cool?
Fantastic. That's a great demo. Glad you called, pal. Have
a good
buddy. Weekend.
You have a good weekend. Speak to you next week.
We can do that. You betcha. Let me sign off here with there. And now at 53 after the hour, let's go ahead, if we can, Corey. Let's go ahead and chat with Mike Hayes. Can we do that? And
probably
there we
not.
Go. There's Mike Hayes.
You didn't want to do that.
What do you
that?
Say, sir? I couldn't get Gail to get up this morning.
She's smart on her anniversary.
That's right.
She ain't no dummy.
Oh, that's right. I went up there a few minutes ago. I said, hey, get up. I didn't hear
you. Right. Oh, yeah, I bet you ain't said nothing. You snuck out.
You
ought to see those new gladiators we got. You ought to like those things, man. Off-road stuff, it's going to be great. The new Jeep Gladiator.
Uh-huh.
How
many of them do you have? Do we need to rush over there?
No, there's no rush because we can't stock them. We're selling them fast right off the truck. That's the problem now. We can't get enough inventory. It's a Jeep pickup, and everybody's going off-road and going up to catch those stripers up there in the river. So it's just awesome.
Boy, I see so many Jeeps on the road.
Oh, don't now, you, though? It's terrible.
Oh, man, and that Gladiator sounds interesting.
Yep, and in the Dodge trucks, O'Neill, the Dodge trucks are 20% off on selected models. You wouldn't believe it. 20%. It's awesome.
Well, we're about to wind it up. Another edition of O'Neill Outside, but he's been holding on quite a while, so let's do chat with Jim, calling from Monroe, Georgia. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Okay. All right, I'm fine.
You said to call you back and give you an idea of what I found that would hopefully end my armadillo regiment.
I'd love to hear it.
I have found the little cups that you can get at some of the big chicken places that have, you know, a place where you put your coleslaw, your potatoes. I cleaned that out, got it dishwashed and everything. And in one, I put 10 of the ladies' cotton balls that they use to either remove or help their makeup in the mornings or evenings.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it was 99.5% ammonia. In another cup, I put as pure a pine sol oil as I could find in it. I let them soak for about 3 days in the hot sun. I found, I found several holes that they had started, and they were going around the culvert that goes underneath my driveway and down the road and also across under the road. So I put about 4 of each at the opening. So far, I haven't had any problems. Of course, I had a call from a neighbor across the street, which is about a half a mile back, and said, I've got these big brown things. They're all around my house. Can you tell me what they are? I said, they got a long pointed tail. And he said, yeah. I said, they're armadillos. I said, you were wishing them on me. I just found a way to repel them. He said, well, thanks. Now I've got them. I said, well, you can deal with them. I'm happy for you.
Tell me, Jim, how did you come up with that? Where did you find that out?
I just tried some different things. I can't tell you that I've read anything about it or anything, but I did put the grub and stuff killer on the grass, and that killed that down, but I put the other out there, and it seemed to have worked. I mean, I could tell that their openings, they had not been working the openings or digging out any more dirt, and they had left. But that's all I can tell. I'm not sure.
Hey, great call, pal. The music tells me I have to leave now. Thanks for calling, my good friend, and call back more often. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. And if you're too busy to go fishing and take a child along, you're too busy. We'll see you guys next week.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.